This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four at 4.
4 o'clock on your Tuesday. Time for the top 4 at 4. Brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Citizens National Bank. Here's Guy Patterson III.
Thank you, Russell. Starting off today, number one, the Nashville Predators won again last night.
Bring your music down just a little bit there, GP3. There not all the way. Just do it. Reasonable volume. I was told I could listen to it. Thank you.
The Nashville Predators won again last night, marking this historic two-month run they've gone on. And now if they win again tomorrow, they can clinch a playoff spot.
So what's going on? The Preds had a terrible start to the season, right?
Yeah, really, really bad.
Really bad. And I just have not paid attention at all this year. But should I jump on the bandwagon? Like, are they going to make the playoffs? And they're on a run, so they could
right. They
could do some damage potentially.
So right now they have a 4-point lead in the standings, in front of the Dallas Stars, who are the team that's chasing them. The Stars have 4 games left. The Preds have 3 games left. So all the Preds have to do is win one of those games, and they're good. They're locked in. They have another somewhat easy team tomorrow in Columbus, and then they play Carolina.
Blue Jackets. We think they're going to get it done?
I think they will.
The Preds winning on Saturday was huge.
Oh, yeah.
They beat the Stars head-to-head on Saturday and essentially, you know, put them into the good position there.
Are they allowing full house at Bridgestone yet?
I think it's at like 50%, I think, right around there.
Man, there's no atmosphere like playoff atmosphere at Bridgestone Arena.
No, I was actually there for their first ever playoff series win.
Pretty loud.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty crazy.
All right, moving on to number two. Russell Westbrook became the only player in NBA history to record multiple games.
You see this stat line?
Insane.
With at least 20 rebounds and 20 assists, he finished with 21 boards, which was a career high, and 24 assists, which tied a career high.
For a point guard, too, nonetheless.
It was just a weird, and he only had 14 points, right?
Yeah. That was the one you were like, oh, man, if only that could have gone to 20.
But it almost made it more weird, like when you saw it on the screen. 14 points, what, 21 assists?
21 rebounds, 24 assists.
24 assists?
I mean, ridiculous.
That's stupid.
Yeah, so he's the only player in NBA history to have done that twice with 20 and 20.
He's a great player. Does he need a championship to legitimize himself? I mean, I feel like he's one of the all-time greats and it just doesn't feel like he's ever destined to be on a title team.
There are so many of those point guards who are just missing that championship, right? An Allen Iverson, a Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook. But I think that maybe Russ, what he has going for him is he led that whole charge of the point guard with the triple-double, averaging a triple-double in the season. I think he will always be known and remembered well for that. But for any of those guys, like, getting that championship would be huge.
If Durant had stayed in OKC, would they have won an NBA title? The Thunder.
Yes. Well,
I would say yes, too.
Harden, too. Absolutely. I know you got a couple of A players, but that's what everyone's doing.
That's got to be so frustrating for OKC fans to know that they had all three of those guys. That was when they had it rolling in the playoffs. I mean, that was a hard place to play, and that was a fun team to watch.
Well, you think about how the Bulls, right? They stopped so many great players from getting championships. The Warriors did the same thing. The Warriors and the Cavs made the championship for like what, 6-5 straight years?
Yeah.
Nobody, not the Rockets with Harden and Westbrook. I mean, there were so many teams who just never got so many players.
There were the teams the Bulls blocked. The Jazz, Karl Malone,
the Suns,
the Sonics, the Suns,
the Trailblazers.
I don't know about the Knicks, maybe.
The Knicks, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the Knicks.
Teams in the East, for sure.
Yeah, man. And I take the modern-day Warriors, at least what they did, you know, a couple of years ago, same kind of stretch. They blocked so many players from ever getting a championship. It's crazy.
And just expanding on that real quick, if Russ was to average 0 points, 0 rebounds, and 0 assists the rest of the season, he'd still finish the season averaging a triple-double.
No. What?
Yep.
Yeah.
How many games did they have left?
I think there's like 6.
The Mavericks have 8, and I believe one other team we looked at this morning had 9, so anywhere from 6 to 9.
He's averaging enough assists and rebounds to where if he went 0 for the rest of the way, he would still average double figures?
Yep.
Wow. That's pretty impressive, man.
All right, number three. Michigan's Franz Wagner has declared for the NBA draft, according to the people who rate these players.
I believe it's Franz Wagner.
Wagner.
Come on. Come on, GP3.
Well, according to the people who rate the players, he's the ninth best prospect in the draft.
I wonder if he is, maybe if he pushes Keon Johnson back in the draft, if Keon Johnson is safe with that guy going in, because obviously Keon Johnson is, I've seen him projected anywhere from 6 to 7, so maybe right around in that area. Hopefully he doesn't push Keon back unless it pushes him to a better situation.
Yeah. That's an odd thing to throw into the top four, GP3.
It's a slow news day.
The Tennessee tie. You got to do.
No, there's no such thing as a slow news day. We don't make excuses. He did lead with the Preds, so maybe it is a little bit slow, but good thing we're doing the all blood and guts team.
All right, this does have a Vols tie-in. Mark Schlabaugh has released his post-spring way too early top 25 for football this year,
okay. And
the Vols will right now face four teams that are in the top 25.
I was like, where's he going? They're like, surely we're not in this.
There is no way that we are in this.
Okay,
no.
We got so four teams. Hold on, let me guess. Four opponents. Alabama.
Yep.
Georgia.
Yep.
Great
Florida.
Guess.
Yep. Fourth one might shock you.
Ole Miss shocked me.
Ole Miss, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, they got Bama at 2. He has Oklahoma as 1, and he has Bama coming in at number 2. UGA at 3, Florida at 17, and Ole Miss at 19.
Ole Miss game's going to be huge, man.
Is that here or there?
It's here.
Okay. Fired up.
Lane train rolling it. And it's at the end. It's the week before we play Bama, right?
I
believe it's the 7th game. We play 7 or 8 games in a row, and we only have one off week scheduled. It goes Bowling Green, Pitt, Tennessee Tech, Florida, Missouri, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Bama. So 8 games and then the off week before
Missouri,
we play Kentucky.
Yeah, you said Missouri, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Bama.
Is it Bama and then Ole Miss?
Yes. No, it would be Ole Miss, Bama bye week.
Okay.
On the last day of October, and then you come back to Kentucky, and then you go to Kentucky on November 6th.
That's brutal.
That is. That sucks.
It's a long stretch, man.
Oof.
It's a long stretch. I thought Fulmer was supposed to have solved some of our scheduling woes. I guess he did get that Georgia game moved back.
Yeah.
Why don't I don't understand why they don't add another off week in there for all teams. And break it up a little bit just to give the players a little bit of a break and to extend the season, give us more games, more football.
Like what they did last year.
More money. I mean, if they can stretch things out.
Yeah, it was just because of the way the schedule fell, though. It had nothing to do with COVID or anything. It was just or maybe it was the year before. I'm not sure. It was just something with the way the season fell. It was like every so many years they add in an extra bye week. So that the championship games can be played that first weekend in December.
So we had a bye week last year on October 30th again, just like we did this year. Yeah, I think it must have been the one before.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was the year before.
Because we didn't play on November 14th either. So we did. So there were two bye weeks last year. We played Kentucky on the 17th, Bam on the 24th of October, nothing on the 30th of October. Then he came back and had Arkansas on the 7th, nobody on the 14th, Auburn on the 21st. So, yeah, you had two bye weeks last. And I like that. I did, Russell, for every reason that you said. As a fan, as a media guy, it was nice to have a little break. But for the players, you got to imagine.
I almost feel like that should be a rule. Like, would we be okay if every team had it 4 games off week? So everybody's off for an off week and you just have a break. I know the TV networks wouldn't like that, and it probably never happened, but they had to figure out a way to make 2 off weeks per season. I feel like
I like the idea of having 2 byes, but I would still want there to be games played every week. So
sure.
Yeah.
That is the Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Citizens National Bank. They're doing the money grab again at Smokies Games. Have you seen this? They have one of those phone booth, like dollar, where the dollars are
blowing
around.
I did it as a kid for my birthday.
You got to do one of those?
I did. The money machine, they call it.
Is it really hard?
I was not good as a kid. I think I maybe grabbed a couple, and you just try to stick a couple to the side. But you're saying that they have that at the Smokies games?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
I think the play, you know what I'm talking about, GP3?
No, I've never been.
You never seen one of those?
Oh, they're awesome.
They have them everywhere. Like, it's basically a phone booth, right?
Oh, okay.
With windows.
Yeah.
And then the money's blowing around inside, and you've got 30 seconds or a minute to grab as much money as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the Citizens National Bank is doing one of these out at the Smokies games. They'll wheel it out there, and I don't know how you get signed up to do it. But I would think that the thing to do, Rick, would be to put the money, hold it in your left hand, grab with your right hand, shove it in your left hand so you just hold as much as you can.
If I remember,
can you stick it in your pants? Can you stick it in your underwear?
So if I remember correctly, at least the way that I did it at Thunderbird Roller Rink when I was a kid for my birthday party, I remember I believe you had one hand behind your back, but you could use your pockets. So you couldn't just kind of like, you know, use
but
your hands and clap
them
together.
Your pockets.
You gotta stuff them in deep, I guess. We were wearing athletic shorts as a kid, but I remember maybe you had to use one hand. Because, yes, it's difficult, but you can also really kind of figure it out if you try hard enough. But it's fun, and it is a joy to see. It's pretty hilarious.
865-546-8200.
Hey.
Your number to get on the show.
$650, so we can buy an inflatable one.
And just, like, have our own money grabs for fun?
Yeah.
How much would you be willing to put in the money?
I don't have enough to put into anything.
This is a terrible
I just want to
idea.
Do it again. So much fun.
865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. Bear had to run home. He's hopefully going to be joining us via the Skype machine here in just a little bit. Part two of our conversation, the all-volunteer blood and guts team. Yesterday we did in-state players. Today we're doing out-of-state players and getting a lot of good suggestions in here. So the running back thing is interesting. I thought I'd have more support for JFK.
I really like that pick. And I liked it better than your Kamara pick, to be honest, a little bit.
So do I.
I agree with that. I like John Kelly more than Kamara.
Because the thing about the all blood and guts team, and like Kamara's a tough guy, not taking anything away from it, but you elevate the guy who did more with less, right? You love the guy who maybe he wasn't the 4.4 running back, maybe he wasn't 220 pounds, maybe he wasn't the most elite athlete out there, but when you needed a yard on 3rd and 1. You give it to him, and he's going to get it.
You remember that stiff arm he had against South Carolina,
too. Oh, my God,
yeah. If you go watch a Hardest Hits compilation on YouTube or something, he's always on there for that one stiff arm.
I don't remember that.
It was against South Carolina.
Here?
I think it was at South Carolina. But he slammed the guy into the ground. One arm, took him by the chest, and just...
Oh, yeah. I think it... Pull that up for me, Rick.
Gotcha. It was absolutely nasty.
So, let's look at the defense for. I think we all agree Eric Berry is on this thing. Who else we got defensively? I'll go ahead and put Fred White on there from Griffin, Georgia. Friend of the show, Fred White. One of the hardest hitters ever to lace. And Fred did not have a prolific NFL career. He played for a minute. I think he had a cup of coffee with the Chargers. Played in the XFL a little bit. But Fred White lay the lumber, man. Not the biggest guy in the world. I think he played at 5'10", maybe 200 pounds, something like that, but would absolutely crack you, would belt you, and a guy that loves Tennessee, made his home here for many years. I think he's back down in Georgia in business now, but absolutely loves the orange and white and loves to come back up here and just be a VFL.
I got a defensive back, and if this one was said during the first hour, then let me know, and I'll see myself right out again. Deion. Did we mention Deion?
Deion Grant?
Uh-huh.
I think Bear mentioned him.
See, is Deion Grant blood and guts? Deion had a reputation for being a guy that great athlete, freak athlete.
Okay?
His interception against Florida in the 98 game, one of the most athletic plays in the history of Tennessee football. But he also kind of had this reputation of being not the most physical defensive back in the world. Guy, you're going to have to take that jacket off, man. It's driving me crazy. You got a loud jacket. Do you hear this, Rick?
One of the windbreaker ones.
Yeah.
I'll take it off at the next break.
You'll take it off now. I'm just kidding. Take it off, guy. But Deonta Hardwin, man.
Okay.
I wouldn't say this if he was sitting in the room.
Yeah. you would add him to the top of the list.
And
but I respect it.
You know, he came out early. I don't know how much he's been back around the program. And I will say this, because I know it sounds like I'm questioning his toughness a little bit. He did come back from a gruesome injury when he was with the Panthers, I believe. He basically ripped his hip out of his socket on a kick return.
Oh, my God.
Ended his season. An injury that be career-ending to a lot of people. And he came back and played at a very high level for the Seahawks for several years after that. Had a long and prolific NFL career. And you don't play defense in the National Football League for as long as he did if you are not one tough son of a gun. I don't know, man. It's like Deion Grant, one of the all-time greats, no doubt about it. Maybe the most athletic defensive back we've ever had. And think about, I mean, you're throwing guys like Dale Carter and Terry Fair and Eric Berry in there. Deion Grant's right there.
Sure.
As one of the best athletes that's ever set foot on campus. I don't know that I have him on this team.
What about Cam Sutton?
Ooh.
I like Cam Sutton.
It's interesting. The thing about Cam Sutton that you love is he was a great player here, and he wasn't necessarily expected to be. He was a three-star guy coming out of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Not a guy. I don't know that Georgia recruited him. I might be wrong on that, but I don't know that Georgia recruited him. I don't know that they offered him. And I believe he committed to and or signed with Dooley, with that regime. He might have been committed to the Dooley crowd, and then Dooley got fired, and then Butch went ahead and just signed him, kind of like we did with a bunch of guys this past year. He might have been one of those guys. Definitely was coached by Martinez and those guys.
You are correct about Georgia as well. Did not offer Cam Sutton, three-star coming out of Georgia. Did not get offered by Georgia.
See, and I almost put a guy like that, even though he wasn't as good a player as Deion Grant, that like when I think of the Blood and Guts team, I'm almost elevating a guy like Cam Sutton above Deion Grant, even though he wasn't as good a player. Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah, because I think you've correctly laid out the criteria that you're going for. You're not just putting the all-time greatest at each position. It's not trying to figure out who is the best Tennessee team ever. I think you're going for who had the heart, who had the spirit, who had the great, obviously, the talent, the athleticism, but also mixed with the moments, right, and the drive of what an iconic player looks like.
I put Deion Grant, the Deion things throw me for a loop. Like, I put him in the Leonard Little category. If we're just talking on the field and playing, Leonard Little was a bad man. We might not have had, when you talk about all-time just badasses that we've had play here, like Leonard Little is in that conversation for the baddest of them all. That conversation includes Doug White and probably John Henderson, maybe Ray Knock Thompson, guys who are almost scary. I mean, the hit that he had on Brian Bergdorf in the 95 Alabama game, probably my favorite hit in the history of Tennessee football, when he just put his face mask into
popped
Bergdorf.
And I've seen that
another
video.
Great John Ward call, blasted! And he fumbled. Oh, man, he knocked him into next week. Knocked him out of the game. That might have been the last we saw Bergdorf. I think Freddie Kitchens basically took over at that point. Brian Bergdorf. But he was almost too good to be on this team, if that makes any sense at all.
Sure. How about a submission from Twitter? Antone Davis of The Biggest Loser as well.
Where's Antone from?
Antone is from Peach County High School in Fort Valley, Georgia.
Well, I put him on there. And wasn't Charles McRae, wasn't he from Florida?
Who, Charles McRae? Yes, Charles McRae was definitely out of state.
Or am I just thinking because he played at Tampa?
So actually, Charles McRae played at Clinton, says here.
I should know that.
Interesting.
But he's know that.
Born in Michigan.
Huh.
Huh.
Yeah.
What about Anton?
He's on one of those teams. I like Anton.
Do you watch him on The Biggest Loser?
I didn't watch the show, but
that was my introduction.
He put a lot of that weight back on, didn't he?
I think so.
When he came back.
I think so.
Still a good dude. Wishing
I remember
the best.
He was wasn't he one of the guys that Butch maybe brought in to be a part of the to like run the VFL guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because at the time he was coming off of the TV stint. So he was like a good guy to maybe be the face of that. I don't obviously know where he might be now, but
I believe this shows you why we've sucked, okay?
Uh-oh.
Davis and McRae were these offensive tackles on that 1990 Sugar Bowl team that we were just talking about. They played on the same team. They're both first-round draft picks. Both are offensive tackles on that team went in the first round of the NFL draft. I mean, they were monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And we get two guys in the entire draft. We had two guys from the same position go in the first round back then. And stuff like that happened all the time. Got to have players, man.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have players.
Yeah.
Quick timeout. We're going to get Bear back in here. We will open the phone lines to you. Your thoughts, 865-546-8200. As we go out of state today. Out of state, 546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Quick timeout. We're back with more. Your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Blue Water Climate Control wants to thank Fan Run Radio listeners who've been following their social media, visiting their website, and most importantly, calling Blue Water for all their heating and air needs.
I feel like this could be a game changer, Rick Butler. I was wondering why you wear those glasses. They look kind of, I don't say goofy, but
they're a little weird.
They look a little goofy.
They're a little weird. It's all right.
Ricky's kind of weird, man.
But do you know why he's wearing these glasses?
He's doing us a solid, and you're going to rail at my guy here?
No, I think he may have just changed my life.
Just wait.
Do you know why he's wearing these glasses?
To pick up chicks, knowing Rick.
Damn right.
They're blue blocker glasses.
Oh, I've thought about getting some of those because I'm so
getting
much
some
screen time right now since I've been off work.
I'm getting some.
So, Bear, ever since
could you tell a difference, Russ?
Quick? It looked like, you know when you put your phone on night mode and it gets that yellowish kind of tint?
And you can feel your eyes relax?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It makes everything look like that. And I feel like, because we grew up in the last generation without the internet.
Yeah.
And so until I was 15, 16, 18 years old, I'd go entire days without looking at computers. It wasn't a thing. We watched a lot of TV, and now I just feel like my eyes are just constantly fried.
Because they are. I mean, TV's not going to burn your eyes out. Not those old tube TVs.
Yeah, so you know, Bear, what I don't notice anything in the moment. Like when I'm just looking at my computer right now, my eyes don't feel any different. But if I'm at my computer for 4 hours cranking out a great story for fanrunradio.com, by the end of it, yeah, how about that? By the end of it, when I'm done and I leave my computer and I just want to go sit down, my eyes do not hurt at all. And I do have really bad eyes. So I highly recommend the stinking blue light glasses. They're great. Yeah, man, they're great.
Yeah.
Now,
no mistake, Rick Butler, Mr. Magoo at the station.
I don't want to get ladies' frames. And I got a big head, too, man.
I think mine are unisex.
I went expensive this time.
These look kind of cool. They got kind of a Clubmaster vibe. Right,
you got
there.
A little bit of a retro vibe.
Okay.
I'm telling you, though, if you get them, 10 bucks on Amazon.
Clubmaster. I bought the Ray-Bans, boys.
Ho-ho.
Very nice.
Oh,
whoa, high roller.
No. Got.
It's okay. Go ahead and flex on him, Bear.
At the beginning of all this, I got, during my troubles, I was able to get on a decent health insurance plan and to help with all this stuff. And I didn't even notice it, but it came with like this incredible vision policy.
You can actually go to the doctor now.
Hey, I'll read my computer a little bit better. I just need these glasses. They work.
The blue blockers. Is that what they're called?
You're going to see me walking around in these things from now on.
Wow.
Like, oh, look at Russell. He looks so distinguished. What with his graying hair
Excuse
and
me,
glasses.
Sir. You're supposed to be a professor over on campus over there.
Yes.
You'll be even more irresistible to the old lady.
As if that's possible.
I mean, who are we kidding?
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. It is The Drive. It is Fan Run Radio. It is Russell Bear. It is Rick Butler, Mr. Fabulous, helping us out on a Tuesday afternoon. We reach halftime, bottom of the 4 p.m. hour on the show, and we are breaking it down this afternoon to levels that can only be described as beyond scientific. Oh, my goodness. And this Tom Wilson guy in the NHL. Did you see this guy last night?
Yeah,
yeah, what'd he do?
This dude's out of control.
He's a repeat offender, too.
By the way, thanks for taking your jacket off, GP. Sounds much better.
Yeah, he's a repeat offender. He's known as one of the more
habitual line stepper.
Yeah.
A goon.
Is he like a Todd Domi or what? What are you talking about here?
So yesterday there was a little skirmish after the whistle, and he grabbed it was a big name player. I think it was Panarin for the Rangers.
He grabbed
him by the head and just slammed him into the ice and then started punching him while he was down.
It was a little excessive.
Into the ice.
Punching him in the back of the head as well.
He pulled him down by the hair.
Yeah.
He grabbed his hockey hair and like,
and he didn't have a helmet on either. That was what made it worse. So he slammed his bare head into the ice.
His head hit the ice.
Oh.
And kill somebody.
And from what I saw, he only got fined. I don't know if there was a suspension or anything that came with it.
Well, how long was it? Remember, who was the guy that actually got charged for something that happened on ice? You guys remember that?
You're thinking of Bertuzzi.
Yeah. Todd Bertuzzi.
Yeah, Todd Bertuzzi, where he sucker punched the guy from behind.
Thrashier, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He get him for assault?
Wasn't a sucker punch. Wasn't it? He hit him with a stick, right?
No, that was somebody else, I think, that you're thinking.
He sucker punched him. It was like right at mid-ice, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was skating away from him. He just skated up behind him and sucker punched him and knocked him out.
And he hit the ice with his head.
They said
it was like on a Rudy Tomjanovich kind of level. Kermit.
They said what really hurt him, though, wasn't the fall. It was that people came to try to protect him, and everybody just landed on top of him, and with him out cold and everybody on top of him, and that was what ended his career.
Jeez.
Hockey's a dangerous sport, dude. So you had an excellent take in that first segment, Russ, about Deion Grant.
Really? Because I could just hear you yelling at me and calling me an idiot.
No, huh? He is. I think he may be. I mean, he's up there with like Willie Gault and Eric Berry, and you had a couple other really good names of like the all-time just freakiest secondary players we've ever had. So,
how about this one? Shout out to Marsh.
I just remember his mom had to move in with him. I remember that story after he did that to his hip. That's how bad it was.
Oh, yeah.
That poor guy's like 22, 23, supposed to be this, you know, superstar NFL player. And you got your mom living with you because you destroyed your hip so badly that, you know, she's got to take care of you.
Oh, man.
Like your baby.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We got a couple of – I can't believe that we've made it halfway through the show and nobody has mentioned – maybe the poster boy for this entire team.
Oh, boy.
Ladies
and gentlemen. We've already hit Eric Berry.
Number 29, Inky Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
One of the most inspirational players ever.
Guy who literally gave his arm for the Vols.
I mean, he gave his whole playing career. You know what's wild about that year is if we were talking about Justin yesterday and Inky, if we don't lose those two – and that season probably turns out a lot differently, especially Inky. Because, that was Inky's team.
Who else did we lose to? 9-3 team. We lost to Florida. Was that Saban's first year at Bama? No, it wasn't. We beat Alabama that year. We lost three games.
Yeah, we shouldn't have.
No,
that
we
was
lost,
a really, really loaded team that year.
Lost to Penn State in the Citrus Bowl. Foster fumbled.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the infamous 7-10 spare.
Did Spurrier in Florida get us that year?
Or was that the year that Will Hoyt kicked the game winner after he missed the extra point?
No, that was 2004.
Okay.
Where's Greg Amsler from? He's from up in New Jersey, wasn't he?
Yeah, Amtrak. That dude was crazy. I mean, he was certifiable. But, man, if you needed 3 yards, he's one of the last great fullbacks we had.
Q Willie talking about how we need to get another fullback. Line up in the I formation with a fullback.
Excuse me. Look him up, Rick Butler.
Is Amsler the best fullback in Tennessee history?
Ah, no. I mean, come on. I don't know another one. William Henderson. I mean, we had some Sean Bryson. We had some great fullbacks here.
What did you want to know about Greg Amsler?
I mean, just look him up. I'm just telling you, look up his game film. You don't know what we're talking about.
I mean,
he was a cruise missile.
I remember stories and the stories that I heard go back to what I'm looking at now. 240 pounds, 6 foot three. I mean, he was a human wrecking ball.
You give him the ball maybe two or three times a game.
An absolute monster.
Very All-Stott-esque, yes.
Yeah.
Getting a vote, Brian Hunsucker with a vote for Jesse Mahalona.
He's pretty damn good in his own
right.
It's
a good one.
Jesse was, yeah.
That's a good one.
Great name, too.
Mahalona.
I thought of one, but I'm fairly certain he's from Tennessee, but I'm embarrassed. There's a couple of these that we didn't name yesterday that I have to. I mean, David Douglas.
Oh.
Come on, man.
Yep.
That's a
played in a Super Bowl. The Cincinnati Bengals back in the day. Very athletic family, him and his wife, Carla.
Jeff, gosh. Oh, I switched she's brain. West Tennessee.
Jeff Smith from Milan?
Yeah, Jeff Smith from Milan. I feel like it was kind of an oversight leaving him off yesterday.
So I was telling you before the show. No, I was telling you on the show last hour how I did those Blount County Game of the Week things back in the day.
Yeah.
And Jeff Smith did, was it Maryville Games? He was out there, man. And he did just a mountain of a man. You talk about a gentle giant, too. Nicest guy you'll ever meet. But you can just tell.
What was John Ward's epic call with him?
I don't know.
He had a call with him or something he would always say. But yeah, he's a gentle giant. Super nice guy.
Got a vote for Hacksaw Reynolds. He's from Ohio, evidently.
A complete and total animal. There's been probably three guys. Well, maybe four if you count Raynock, but Doug Atkins, Hacksaw Reynolds, Al Wilson.
Have we said Steve Kiner?
Frank Emanuel,
Kiner's
in the day.
Probably in that crowd.
Okay.
I mean, linebackers that would. Yeah, Shazam Bradley. I mean, just insane, like Captain Insano kind of guys that you just don't want to, you just don't want to be part of.
I kind of still put an AJ Johnson in that category. I know not anywhere close to maybe some of those other guys, and he didn't have the especially spectacular moments in the biggest games. But I mean, for a lot of people, the guy we saw of laying the lumber on folks was AJ Johnson.
He made a lot of tackles. He did.
This is the second time you brought AJ up, Rick.
We're going back to the linebackers, and so I wanted to throw him out there one more time.
Hacksaw Reynolds, the man cut a car in half, Rick.
It's
because
insane.
He was angry.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't put my guys on that level, but certainly still.
Where was the DeLong family from? Where were those guys from? They went
the DeLongs?
Yeah, did he go to Bearden?
I mean, Keith? I don't think so. Maybe Farragut? I don't think he went to Bearden. He may not even be from Knoxville. Keith DeLong?
Boy, he was the man on that terrible 1988 team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude.
He's from San Diego. How about that?
Yeah. His dad, wouldn't his dad play here? His dad play here?
Steve DeLong played.
Yeah.
He won the Outland Trophy in like the
50s.
60s, yeah.
60s. I mean, we had some incredible talent come through here. I'll tell you another one. Just a really bad, bad man in the secondary was Andre Kramer back in the day.
He's the guy who caught the interception in the end zone against Alabama in 1982 to seal the first win against Bama in like 14 years, right? Maybe 11.
Number one, he was number one. Probably, yeah. The one play I remember about him, he decapitated a guy from Rutgers and like the guy's helmet. He hit him so hard in the middle of the field. I can still to this day picture the pads flying out from the inside of his helmet and like his helmet. He had like a critical helmet failure. Andre Kramer almost killed a guy.
A critical helmet failure.
Yeah, like the helmet failed. Like it went into like pieces. You ask any of the old dudes that would have been around. Phil, W. Lynn, Willie, any of those guys, they'll tell you. He could strike like Ronnie Lott. He was fast.
What about a younger guy in the secondary and Emmanuel Moseley?
See, I don't know about you, Russ. Let me see if you'll agree with me on this, Russ.
I'm not putting him on my
Of the guys, the younger guys are naming off from recently.
We wouldn't have even recruited in the 90s.
No. So you got to understand where me and Russ are coming from. We're talking about the, you know.
Which he made the NFL. So maybe we should have recruited him. But
I'm just, he was the one who had that play against Texas A&M, right? Where he knocked the ball through the back of the end zone.
No. That was Malik Foreman.
That was Malik Foreman.
Did that twice. He did it against Florida, and then he did it against A&M.
The A&M play was spectacular.
Yeah, he's like Tom Beebe. That dude ain't giving up. He's going to run. He'll run you down. If he has to run 105 yards, yeah.
It's a shame we didn't go for
that. That was a hell of a play. It's a shame that it went for nothing, what you're getting ready to say, Bubba.
All right, we're going to take a quick break right here. We'll come right back with these phone calls. Got an interesting Tennessee baseball take in the Twitter DMs that we'll share with you as well. Stay tuned. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Hey, folks. Russell. Get back to the phones. Jamie is next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Jamie. Jamie, you there? Jamie going once. Jamie going twice. So long, Jamie. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Well, hey, Utah's not on there now. It's too bad.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm sure he had some good ones.
He's going to figure out. I know he's going to figure out a way to turn this into ripping Rick Barnes, but I guess that's our loss.
We didn't mention Eddie Brown yesterday, did we?
No. No, he's a good one.
He was a great player. I can't believe he wasn't mentioned yesterday.
Where was he
from?
He made
an interception in a Super Bowl for the Rams.
He's from South Pittsburgh, too. That place is loaded good players on there. So,
just west of Chattanooga? Just southwest of Chattanooga, right before you cross the line.
Tennessee's recruiting a player down there right now. That's a defensive tackle. We need to make sure we get him. Can't think of the kid's name.
Well, I'd forgotten all about that. Caught an interception in the Super Bowl they lost to the Steelers.
Yeah, I think the kid's name is Giovanni Davis, Phil. It's a good-looking prospect.
Yeah, and Eddie Brown, probably his greatest game at Tennessee was probably against Kansas at Tennessee. I think he broke his jaw and everything, and he had just return punts and intercepted passes. Just had a phenomenal game.
Do you remember the player Greg Johnson in the 90s, who was a special teams guy? He might have even been a walk-on. He ended up becoming a Navy SEAL. He was like Special Forces back in the olden days.
What was his name?
Greg Johnson. But anyway, the legend has it, he hit a guy so hard on a kickoff return against UCLA, I believe. He hit a guy so hard he broke his face.
Wow.
It had like a facial fracture.
Wow.
Face mask in?
Yeah, and then you've got Raynock Thompson, who, in addition to being just a scary dude both on and off the field, he played with a lacerated kidney. He was urinating blood and didn't tell anybody during the week because he wanted to play the next game. Played with Like, he could have died.
Yeah.
And just played outside football of, anyway.
If I mean, they'll tell you, that's excruciating. Like, most normal people would be on a morphine drip in intensive care with a lacerated kidney. And he's playing major college football. He's nuts.
Have y'all, I haven't heard the whole show. Has Chuck Webb been mentioned today?
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about him, Phil. It was more a, where do you, his career ended so suddenly.
He's like a one-hit wonder, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he was such kind of an odd duck. A lot of people don't realize he kind of marched the beat of his own drummer.
Yeah.
Remember when he left the bowl game? You remember that, Russell? Like, he just went straight to the airport in his uniform or something. He was kind of a different kind of dude.
Yeah.
And Dale Carter is probably the meanest, one of the meanest players Tennessee's ever had.
Yeah, he's King Rattlesnake.
Nobody wanted to mess with him.
You think he's the toughest, craziest?
Well, you get a little combination of olives there, isn't it?
I mean, if you're just looking to get your ass whipped.
Of course, you know, we brought in all those JUCOs in to prepare our program back in the big time, and it did it. But there was a lot of off the field stuff that was.
But at what cost? At what cost, Phil? It's kind of interesting. Sometimes you got to
every minute of it.
You got to think outside the box, right? To get where you want to go.
Think outside the box.
Well, I'm drawing a parallel between what we're doing now with this transfer portal, right? And if,
oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
Coaches don't have the days of, well, give me 4 or 5, whatever Butch said, it takes 7 years to win a build a program, going out and recruiting a bunch of three stars and then hoping to coach them up, and then you can recruit 4 or 5 stars later. You don't get that anymore, man. You got 2 or 3 years to prove your mettle in this conference. Yeah. You got 2 or 3 years to prove yourself, and then that's it. You either do it or you get fired.
Book's written, right? But I mean, the book will be written on you.
Well, and not to mention, that's why it's so important to just get one of these coaches out of there when they're not working. If you let them tank the program for an extra year or two, you let them run off some talent, then it's going to be so much harder for that next coach to come in. If you at least can be like, all right, we recognize that the coaching staff is more of the problem than the players we have here. We just need to get a guy for these players. That helps so much in, you know, shortening that absurd 7-year window, but a more realistic, 3 to 4 year window?
Well, when the history of Tennessee football is rewritten there, Fabulous, keeping coaches too long has been what's got us in the situation we're in. And all goes back to keeping Fulmer too long.
Yeah, but they definitely, like Florida, if Butch had been at Florida in 16, if that had been a Florida team instead of a Tennessee team, he'd have gotten fired for missing out on that Sugar Bowl. There are a bunch of schools that take football more seriously than we do. They'd have fired him. We talked about it on the drive. Yep. We all knew it. I mean, we knew 17 wasn't. We were out on Butch at the end of 16.
And I mean,
saw how he flamed out.
Yeah, and you see where that's left us since. And you know, throughout any of these coaching changes, I think we're sitting here right now, obviously evaluating what talent is left over from Jeremy Pruitt and what can Josh Heupel do with that talent. It's just why it's so important that you can't just sit on your hands. And I know that it's easier for me to say that than it is done, but you got to give your next coach a little bit something better than a boneyard to work with.
One more thing before I get off here. Did y'all see where Blue Kane was the 5-star prep underclassman of the year? Basketball?
I did not see that.
And just think, he got two more years of high school.
Just think.
That guy's going to be – I can't believe how good he's going.
You think
a
new coach over there get him out for football this year, put him out there in that wide receiver room?
Why?
You don't think he can go up and get the ball?
6'4", 180.
He could be in the NBA one day. Why would he waste his time?
I want to see Blue Kane balling out in the Butch Bowl next year on Cedar Bluff.
I don't know if the kid's ever played football. He's a basketball player.
Now, most of the Bobby Mays elite players are smart. They don't play football. That's one of the qualities they have.
Why would you do that if you got standing offers from Tennessee and Syracuse?
Tennessee.
You're the underclassman of the year in Tennessee. Well, you can go out for football. You're on one of the best in the best AU program in the Southeast. I mean, that makes no sense, Russ.
Because it's your high school experience and you want to play football on the big stage. I thought you guys had a big time high school football program. Wouldn't you want to be a part of that?
Yeah, they've got other guys that play football.
Who gets to walk out there on the field at the Butch Bowl at Butch and Barb Jones Stadium?
Well,
and drink of the chip dip.
Well, I think
Bobby Mays gets to do that.
707 now. Bobby Mays has got 707 now, so maybe he can start stocking Catholic with football players.
There you go.
How about
that? Never know.
But who's this center of Tennessee committed? I asked the morning crew about it, and they didn't know. Some guy out of South Carolina, they offered a 6'10 center from Dorman, South Carolina.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not heard that either, Phil.
Well, maybe Butler will figure it out. Butler seems like he's on the ball now.
Are you talking about the 2022 – you're talking about an offensive lineman?
No, I'm talking about a
basketball, Butler. Yeah, that blew up in your face, Phil.
That's why
Phil.
I was confused.
You tried to set Butler up, and he stepped up the plate and swung and missed.
What a moron.
Oh!
You guys got me no closer to the answer with your bumbling of, I don't know, where are you? I don't know. I don't know.
Just take responsibility.
You guys got me no closer. No closer.
Offensive lineman that weighs 215 pounds.
Clarification.
Are y'all going to give Butler double pay for doing all that great work now?
No.
Huh.
Where are you, his agent? Is he giving you a cut of it?
Yeah, I mean, Butler's one of my favorites.
I would give him a cut if he was the agent, though. Good friends.
All right, guys. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you, Phil. Noah Clowney is the young man's name. Dorman High School in Roebuck, South Carolina.
That's a mouthful. Roebuck. You know where Roebuck's at, South Carolina,
I thought Dorman was that huge high school that you pass in Spartanburg. When you're driving down I-26. You ever seen that? You go through Spartanburg, and on the if you're headed towards Charleston, on the left side of the interstate, there is this huge high school that looks like a college. They've got this huge stadium.
It looks like they'd be really good athletics when you drive past there. I know the one you're talking about.
That's old Nate Hodges' neck of the woods.
Old Gamecock Nate. You seen that picture, Nate? Decked out in garnet and black? Kind of makes you wonder. Kind of makes you wonder.
About what?
I don't know.
Coming up, hour number three of the show. GP3 will have your top five at five. Vol Rumor Mill thinks that Clowney is related to Jadeveon Clowney. Thinks it's his cousin. That'd be
what's
pretty
kid's
cool.
name?
Noah Clowney.
Clowney.
All right. We'll do some research on that, Phil. We do our research. Have you done your research? Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up.
The Drive.
Attention homeowners. Did you know your home